With that, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts, fifth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts. We're going to go to chapter 9 and just read two short little verses. Acts chapter 9, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And I hear pages turning, people looking in their Bibles. That's always a good thing. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning with these two short verses. And these verses say this: Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And we'll stop right there, and let's go to God in prayer. Father, what can we learn from these two verses right here? Father, we want your word to speak to us. We want your word to transform us. We want your word to sanctify us and mold us more into that of your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, we're going to trust that your word will do exactly that here this morning. And I ask that you bless the words that I'm about to speak. May they glorify you. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This past Sunday night and Monday night and Tuesday night, I sat in front of my computer with my Bible open, waiting for the Holy Spirit to just lead me to the scripture that I need to speak about and preach about here on Sunday morning. I was ready to type. Nothing happened. And I'll just be honest with you. When it gets to be Wednesday night and I have no clear direction of where and what I'm supposed to speak on, I get a little bit anxious. But when Wednesday night rolled around, I felt the Spirit of God leading me to these two short verses. And I thought, what could I possibly say about these two verses? Well, I'm going to say about 30 minutes worth here this morning. Here's our question for this morning, the question that we'll ask and we'll also answer. What causes a group of people or an individual, as such as Saul in this case, an individual, to get so radically upset to the point of bitter and even hateful over an issue that they will actually take people prisoners and even kill them over it? What causes a group of people or an individual to get so radically upset over certain issues? Well, in today's world, we have people who take different sides to different issues, don't we? On one side, we have the pro-abortion supporters. And on the other side, we have those who oppose those people. On one side, we have the pro-homosexual advocates. And on the other side, we have those who oppose those people. In our country's government, we have even have radical Democrats and we have radical Republicans. Even on the sports fields, we have fanatic sports fans who absolutely love their team that is or whatever sport that is. But on the other hand, they can absolutely hate the other team and the people who support those other teams. And sometimes these views on these issues can be so radical that it can lead to anger, it can lead to violence, it can lead to harm, and it can even lead to death. So how far can and should a person go with their stand on certain issues? Well, these two verses show us one thing. We know how far Saul had gone. These verses tell us that he was taking followers of the way, which would be followers of Jesus Christ, these new disciples who were following this Jesus of Nazareth, he was taking them as prisoners to Jerusalem. A little bit further on in the book of Acts, when we get to Acts chapter 22, we will find out that he says that he was not only persecuting these followers of the way, but he was also leading them to their death. So again, I'll ask the question, what causes a group of people, or in this case an individual Saul, to get so radically upset over a certain issue that they'll actually take people prisoners and even kill them over it? Well, we can look at a biblical answer for that, but let's bring it down to a personal level. Let's bring it into the 21st century. Let's bring it into the people who are assembled here at Beech Grove Christian Church here on this morning of July the 13th, 2014. And let's rephrase the question just a little bit. The question would now sound like this. What causes people to be so radically upset with you and with me because we speak up for our Christian beliefs? Let me back up a second and say this. I really hope that at some point in your Christian walk and in my Christian walk, you have had somebody get upset with you because you stood up for your faith and what you believe in. Did you ever notice exactly who it is in most cases that gets radically upset with us Christians? It is often the outwardly and superficially religious that get radically upset with us Christians. Or it can even be people who claim to be quote-unquote Christians that have such bad theology that they'll argue with you over ridiculous things like this. I have had a person say this to me. Well, Mike, you're not a Christian because you don't speak in tongues. That, my friends, is bad theology. You want to hear some more bad theology that somebody will say? No one in your church, meaning us, we can't be Christians because we use a musical instrument in our church. And that's not what Christians do. That's bad theology too, my friends. There are people who believe that. So, let me suggest a few possible reasons here this morning why Saul thought that way, why he got so radically upset, and why people that you and I just may have encountered in our past or may be encountering right now get so radically upset with us because we think and believe the way that we do as Christians. You'll notice in your bulletins this morning there are no fill-in-the-blanks. Just a whole bunch of blank lines. I do have some points, but you can write whatever you feel like you need to write in your bulletin to take notes. So, let's answer this question. Why do some people get radically upset with people like you and I? Because we stand for what we believe in, and that's the Christian faith. Now again, the point of this sermon is not this. Not the fact that we get radically upset, because the fact that other people get radically upset with us. So I want to make that clear right up front. So let's establish a foundation here first. The foundation would say this, and this is straight from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. What does that say? Well, again, I said it as a foundational statement. The reality is, this battle that you may have gone on with another individual, it's not a battle of us versus them. It's really a battle in the spiritual realms. It's a battle, really, of good versus evil. It's a battle of God versus Satan. It's a battle of truth versus lies. And it's a battle of light versus darkness. So we could probably just stop right there on a spiritual level, a biblical level, and say, well, that's where the battle's at. So we can fight it with that. And we can put on the spiritual armor, and that would be good. But I want to take it down to the human level. Down to the human level of why people, individuals, humans, think the way they do and get radically upset with us Christians. I'm going to read from Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And Psalm 2, 1 through 3 says this: why do nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. Now let me kind of give you a summary of what those verses are saying. They're saying this: there are just some people in this world that we will encounter that just do not like the true God. Okay? They just don't like God. Why? Because they do not know the true God. You can't like something you don't know. They don't like the true God because they don't know the true God. In John chapter 8, the Jews are claiming that, one, we know God, and they're claiming that they are children of God. But Jesus tells them otherwise. He tells them what? He says, you people, your father is who? The devil. Your father is the devil. You guys don't know God. And he goes on to say from there that those who really belong to God, they hear what God says. There are people in this world that we will encounter that are spiritually deaf and they are spiritually blind. Saul, the man that we just read about here, who later became the Apostle Paul and wrote many of the books of the New Testament, he wrote this later on in his life from the book of Romans chapter 10, verses 2 and 3. And let me get to that real quick and read that to you. Romans chapter 10, verses 2 and 3. He says this. Now remember, this is much later on after his conversion and his walk with Christ. He says this about himself: for I can testify about them, meaning the Jews, that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. What Paul is saying, in effect, is this. Yes, they have a zeal for something that they consider to be God, something they construe as God, but it's not the true God. Because if these people knew the true God, they would not be radically upset with people like us who also and do know the true God. So, the battle is a spiritual battle. Point number one, these people who get radically upset with us, we got to understand and realize that they do not know the true God. If they did, we'd be on the same side, wouldn't we? And we're not. The next one, another possible reason is this. These people are convinced that their belief system is the only true belief system. Well, obviously, their belief system and our belief system, once again, must be different. And that's why they're radically upset with us. If the belief systems were the same, they would not be angry with us. Well, let's face it. We're Christians, and we would believe that our belief system is the correct one. Well, we believe that for a good reason. It is. It is. But every belief system thinks that they are right, be it Christianity, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Catholicism, or just those people that just have really bad theology. And they also think that everyone should get behind them and follow suit and believe and think and do and say the same things that they're doing. And that's exactly what Saul and the chief priest and many of the other people in the Jewish Sanhedrin thought, if you really think about it, it is a form of bigotry. Because here's what's going on in their mind from a belief system point of view. You are not like me, so I hate you for that. That's really what they are thinking. Let me give another possible reason why some people might get radically upset with you and I because of our Christian beliefs. Jealousy. Jealousy. You know, I can't help referring to my Catholic family and my Catholic upbringing when I was really preparing and thinking about this whole sermon. My Catholic family back in Pittsburgh, they are steeped in religion. And I can't help thinking that sometimes they really want what I have. They know that I have peace. They know that I have assurance of the life to come. They know that I am different in some way. But here's the deal with people like my family and some people that you may know. They are so committed and they are so ingrained in their religion and their religious practices that they're too far gone and they're not going to turn away from what they believe is right. Saul may have been jealous. Let's go back to Acts chapter 7. The whole chapter is about the stoning of this man named Stephen, the first martyr in the church. And it says at the end of that chapter that Saul was standing right there giving approval to the stoning of this man. During that course, when it's outlining that whole experience that Stephen had, it said that Stephen had the face of an angel. And it also said, as he was being stoned there the last time, Stephen is saying this, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." I kind of wonder somewhere in my mind what kind of impact that face of Stephen had on Saul. What kind of impact those words had on Saul. And just perhaps, just maybe, Saul might be thinking, I'd really like to have what this man has. But it's too late. I'm too far gone. I can't move on from what I'm stuck in right now. So, let's do a quick review. So people get radically upset with you because of your religious beliefs? Some people will, some people won't. Why don't they? Number one, because they don't know the true God. Number two, they have a belief system in their mind. It's the only true belief system. And by the way, on that point, number two, about their belief system, they are never going to change from that belief system until their belief system fails them in some way, shape, or form. And number three, they may be jealous. In reality, they may really want what you and I have. I'm going to suggest one final reason here this morning. These people, they will persecute you, they will argue with you, they will make fun of you, and they will get radically upset with you and I because of one word, four letters, fear. Fear. Back in John chapter 11, verse 47, the members of the Sanhedrin had gathered together and they said this about this man Jesus who was walking out in their country. They said this, and I quote, "What are we accomplishing? Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone is going to believe in him. And then the Romans," keep part here now, "and then the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our nation." Trust me, they had fear of what this man was doing. "The Romans might come away and take away our temple and take away our nation. That, my friends, is fear. And you know, maybe at some point in time, it is no longer a religious reason why people get upset, but maybe it's a political one why people fear that we have what we have. And maybe at some point in time, it's no longer a religious reason, but maybe it's a control reason. I have to have control of the situation. And they're thinking something like this. And when I think that either my position or my authority or my power or if my control is in jeopardy, then I'm just going to get radically upset with you. And in Saul's case, I'll just do away with you. Arrest you, bring you to Jerusalem, and kill you. Going to end here this morning with a story time with Pastor Mike. It was in the late 1990s. I think it was like 1999. And I had been a Christian just for a few years, about 5 years at that time. And I so desperately wanted to witness to my Catholic family back in Pittsburgh. I wanted to share the gospel with my mother and my father. And I had called up my sister Denise, who lives in Columbus, Ohio, earlier that week. And she said, "Well, Mike, I'm coming into Pittsburgh too." And my sister Denise is a very devout Christian lady also. And I said, "You know, Denise, I just feel like I need to witness to Mom and Dad when we go back there." She said, "Let's do that. Let's do that." So we had an agenda, okay? We had an agenda. We knew that sometime that weekend, we were going to share the gospel message with my mother and father. So we get up there, and I still remember where everybody's sitting. My dad was right there on the couch on that side. My mother was sitting over there on that end of the couch. My sister was sitting over there in the chair, and I just had a comfortable place there on the floor. And so I thought, okay, I need to bring this up. And I said, "Mom, Dad, have you ever thought about your eternity, where you're going to go?" And my mother, she got a little bit close. She was interested. My dad just kind of sat there. And so between me and my sister Denise, we start explaining the gospel message to my parents. The more we start explaining, the closer my mom got. She was interested. And the more we start explaining, the more I could see the smoke coming out from my dad's head. There was smoke. And where there's smoke, there's fire. Until I was right in the middle of this good witnessing opportunity. And he, I don't know if he hit something or what, and he said, "Mike, what you need to do is go next door to the Millers," they're the people that live next door, "and you need to tell them because they need to hear this, not us." And that's when I zipped my lip. When I left to come back here to Virginia after that weekend, needless to say, there was no more witnessing that went on to my mother and father that weekend. As I left the city of Pittsburgh and I was going south on Route 51, I had left the city limits of Pittsburgh and I pulled my car off to the side of the road and I did something very symbolic. Pulled the car over and I took my shoes off and I got out of the car and I turned back, car was facing this way, and I turned back around and I faced Pittsburgh and I took my shoes and I did one of these numbers. And I said, "I'm shaking the dust off my sandals. If people want to hear the gospel, I'll take it to somebody who wants to hear it. Because they don't want to hear it." And from that time on, it was never brought up. It was never discussed. Until my mother on her deathbed, which I've already told that story. And there was a salvation experience there. I believe in this story that I just told you, I believe all four of these points that I just brought up, they're going on here in the mind of my dad, of my father. Number one, my dad was so steeped in his religion, in his Catholicism, in his works, in his things that he had to do and not do, that I believe personally he never knew the true God. And I hate to say that because he's my dad. Number two, he was convinced in his mind that his belief system, which is Catholicism, which was Catholicism, was the only right system, and everyone else was wrong. You see, that was kind of a Norman trait anyways. If you didn't agree with him on whatever the issue was, you were wrong. And your religious beliefs fell into that category just as much as everything else. Why don't you drive an Oldsmobile, Mike? Because I drive a Ford Escort, Dad? You know, is that okay? No. See, for people like him, if you don't get behind me and follow me, there's something wrong with you. Number three, I believe he noticed something in me. He knew that me and my sister Denise, we had assurance and we had peace. And he knew that we had that within our faith. And I can't help thinking that somewhere along the line, my dad was just a little bit jealous of me knowing some things that he didn't. And I can't help thinking that if he could just change, he could have what I had. But he was so stuck in what he was stuck in that there wasn't going to be a change. And number four, fear. How does fear come in? Now this is pretty simple. You see, he had lost control of his son, who he had faithfully brought up in his religion. And now Mike's not behind me anymore. Mike's not following the Catholic path. And there's fear when that happens, because I'm not a follower of what he brought me up in. I prefer to feel like I'm a follower in the ways of the truth and what the Bible teaches, which took me 40 years to find out. Saul, the man that we're talking about here, he was radically upset with those people who fell into this thing called the way. But he was also radically transformed by the sovereign God who can take people like Saul and take people like me and take people like Jimmy Bell and take people like Shirley and take people like Erlene and transform us into people who become the Christians that we are today. Never, ever, ever give up on that hope. If he can take people like Saul and he can take people like us, he can take anybody. We just have to pray for those individuals. Remember, it's not us who get radically upset. It's those others who are getting radically upset with us. And we need to put on the best Christian face that we can. So the next time somebody gets radically upset with you and your views and your beliefs about Christianity, we need to consider it a blessing. Persecution is on the list of things that will happen to those of us who identify ourselves as Christ followers. But I guarantee this, persecution will make all of us radically stronger in our faith. Let's go to God in prayer.